Then Allah tells us that they said, قُلْ O Muhammad ﷺ, reply back to them. Say back to them, قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ What a beautiful reply from Allah to their claims. They kept coming and saying to Muhammad ﷺ, be a Jew or Christian and you'll be guided. Allah informed, enlightened our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ saying, بَلْ No! Rather, tell them what? مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ Allah didn't say, tell them, come and follow me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is bringing the name of the same Prophet that is universal for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and them. Bringing the bridge. If you don't want to trust and believe in this person, remember, you claim that you are followers of Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. You claim that you are from the millah. I explained that last Friday, what millah means. So he said, Allah is giving them hindsight. And look, you claim that you're from Millah Ibrahim Islam. This is what Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying from his blessed mouth, alayhi salam, that Millah Ibrahim Hanifa, wama kana min al-mushrikeen, and he was not amongst the people of shirk. This ayah, as the scholars of tafsir say, was in reply to the shirk that they did. No, it does not mean that they're mushrik, because people then confuse with this, that they say, people, many people say, oh, Ahlul Kitab are mushrikun, mushrikeen, no. Here the shirk that is being talked about is that the Yahud said, Uzair is the son of God. Uzair was one of their prophets. The Nasara said, Jesus, son of God. So when you claim that a prophet is the son of God, yes, that itself is a shirk. But it is not shirk in the context of worshipping multiple gods. Like Hindus are mushrikeen. Because they have multiple, they acknowledge multiplicity of deity. At least these people, and Allah has given the respect by saying Ahlul Kitab, at least these people recognize the Wahdani of Allah, that there is one supreme deity. And yes, then in terms of that they do share. So that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising them, reminding them, reconciling to them that look, don't forget, you are the followers of Ibrahim Islam, Millat Ibrahim, Hanifa. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Ibrahim a.s. was never ever from the mushrikeen. He never did shirk. So if you do shirk by accepting Isa or Jesus a.s. as the son of God, or Uzair as the son of God, then you are disobeying your own beloved prophet Ibrahim a.s. whom you have given a sort of oath. And that is what the desire here is to reply back to them from that concept. Then Allah tells us, Rasulullah to tell them, respond back to them. Qulu, say collectively. Say in a jama'ah. Tell them collectively. Qulu, amanna billah. We as Muslims, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a very nice dialogue, discussion. Who says that Muslims hate others? Give me one ayah in the Quran that tells Muslim hates others. If that was the case, why would Allah give so much respect and honor to the people of other scriptures? Ahlul Kitab. You pick up the whole Quran, Allah never addresses them as mushrikeen. Pick up from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah An-Nas. Always is Ahlul Kitab. Yes, Allah acknowledges and highlights and outlines their shirk where they've done, as Isa ibn Allah or Uzair ibn Allah mentions that, but never addresses them as that. I'm saying this in the light of current events, what people accuse us, that Muslims have blasphemy, Muslims are anti-Semitic, Muslims are this, Muslims are that, blah, blah, blah. No, Muslims are the first who give respect and love and honor, in spite of what other people say and hate about us. Give me one faith on the face of this earth that respects all the prophets and does not say one bad word to another prophet. How many times people of other faith badmouth our beloved Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? How many times they say such erroneous and heinous things against Muhammad ﷺ? How many times they say curse at him and use wrong language for him? Look at the teaching of Allah in Islam. Allah said, do not curse on their prophets, on their gods. Do not differentiate between the prophets, period. لا نفرق بين أحد وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك لا نفرق there is no fark between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ismail and Ishaq and Ibrahim. We are respecting the Prophet. We never bad mouth. We are not supposed to. You are violating the Sharia of Islam if you say even one bad word against Isa or Musa or Zakaria or Yahya or Ismail or Ishaq or anyone. These are the teachings. We need to tell people about that. Many non-Muslims don't even think or remember or acknowledge that Muslims don't badmouth any prophet. No. It's wrong. It's a big no-no. It's from the Sharia. It is ordained by Allah to us. We are disobeying Allah if we utter one curse, one bad word for any prophet. And look how many different religion people throw so many spears upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad. Why we do this? Why we don't retaliate and badmouth in return? Because we are the followers of Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He was mercy to the whole universe. So the followers of the mercy of all universe have to be merciful to others. They cannot retaliate. Somebody comes in my face and starts badmouthing, cursing as much to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, my blood will boil. Yes, my brain will fizzle up. But my own Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is also holding my hands and my tongues tight and saying in his sunnah and his teaching that ya Muslim, tell them la nufarriqu bayna ahadin and wala tasubbu, as in Surah Bara'a, Surah Tawbah, Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't tasubbu, don't curse on the gods or don't curse on the worships or the places of worship of other people. فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عُدْوَانًا because then, because of enmity and hatred, they will curse upon Allah in retaliation. These are the teachings, ta'limat of Islam. But we are not doing our job right. How many times we tell this to our colleagues at work, at school, at university? How many times we tell our professors? Many people from MSA and student union, they come, oh, that professor bad-mouthed our Prophet Muhammad. My only reply is, did you sit down and talk to him or her? Did you tell them that our teachings forbid us from bad-mouthing any prophet, from humiliating and disrespecting any prophet, any place of worship, any beliefs of worship? As bad as it is, Trinity, we are forbidden from Islam to curse that notion of Trinity, to bad-mouth, to utter a curse against that whole notion of Trinity. Yes, we are ordained to not believe in it, to tell the wrongs of it, but we're still chained by the Sharia, chained in our hands and minds and tongues by the Sunnah of Islam. Don't curse their belief systems. As bad as it is. So that means when we do interfaith, we need to tell these things. We need to inform them. 90% of the time in interfaith is everything is merry, merry, happy, happy, sit down and go back. This is your chance to inform them. This is your chance to educate them. This is your chance to tell them about the ma'lumat of Quran. Because who knows, one amongst them will say, wow, such beautiful teaching. I never knew about that. All I thought was in interfaith was come and see how you guys pray and have nice biryani, maqluba and bread and kebab. That's delicious. And go back home. My advice to all the masajid in America, if you're doing interfaith, please, for Allah's sake, just mention this passage from Surah Baqarah, you have done the biggest interfaith in the whole world, along with whatever you do in the other things. You want to march, you want to have a rally, by all means, but inform the ta'limat. You want to stand shoulder to shoulder, by all means, with a red carpet and warm welcome. But inform them, Surah Baqarah, verse 133, 134, 135, 136. That we are ordained by our God, the same God that you worship, about these things. Just be it known, so that your misconception goes away that Muslims are haters, Muslims are jealous, Muslims are envious. These misconceptions, who's driving them? These myths and mythology, who's driving them? The media, the society. So where is the counter-argument? Nowhere. People sleeping, because they're not bothered. And Allah will ask us that there was so much misinformation about Islam. There was so much disinformation about Islam disseminated in the society where you live. What did you, O Muslim, Muslima, do from your aspect? Oh Allah, there are people busy about that. It was fard kifaya. Well, we become muftis now, that we can give fatwas. Oh, it's fard kifaya, fard ayn. Fard kifaya meaning a group of people do it, I'm free. Fard ayn, I have to pray, like prayer. Nobody can pray for you. Giving da'wah is not fard kifaya, fard ayn. Yes, If you're shocked by hearing that, be it known. You want a proof? I'll give you the ayah from Quran. It's fard ayn, incumbent upon each and every Muslim and Muslimah in whatever capacity they have. Doesn't mean you have to join some big emblem, big banner, and big society and carry the oh Jannah like that. No. Wherever you are, in your neighborhood, in your society, one utterance of a word is thou. And you fulfill your obligation. And so Allah Subhanahu says, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ. What a beautiful teaching. Allah Subhanahu is saying, if they have any confusion, if they have any misinformation or Islam, let them be known that we as Muslims, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, we believe in Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what else? وَمَا أُنزِلَ, and what all was revealed, أُنزِلَ. Revealed on who? Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of course, that is it. But some other people also. Who are they? وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا, to us. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِسْحَاقِ وَيَعْقُوبِ وَالْأَسْبَاتِ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَإِيسَى. One of the articles of Iman, the fundamentals of the belief. You are not a mu'min if you don't believe in the other prophets or if you don't believe in the other divine revelations. If you say, I don't want to believe in Torah, I don't want to believe in Isa, I mean in Isa or any prophet, you are going outside the fold of Islam. Yes, many times people ask me in that question, how can I go outside of Islam if I say I don't believe in Isa or Musa? How can I go outside the Islam if I say I don't believe in Torah and Injil or Zabur? Of course, because Allah is saying in the Quran, in countless different places, that tell them, we believe, آمَنَّا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِسْحَاقِ يَعْقُوبِ أَسْبَاتِ إِيسَى مُوسَى. Tell them we believe, and believe fundamentally, obligatory, mandatory. Not a belief by choice or casually. Oh, when I'm good with the others, then I'll believe in Isa and Musa. When I have bad days with them, I don't want to believe in their prophets. No. You are not a complete mu'min. You're not a complete believer unless and until you complete your belief by believing in Isa and Musa. But yes, where we differentiate, where we delineate ourselves is that yes, those books got corrupted. Those people may follow them, but not in totality of what the Sunnah. Every prophet had a Sunnah. Sunnah of Musa Islam, Isa Islam, Ibrahim Islam, Ishaq Islam, Yaqub Islam. Those people are not following their respective prophet's Sunnah. That is where we differentiate. But we don't totally negate the belief in those prophets. And that's what Allah is saying. Tell them that we believe in Ibrahim, Ismail, Yaqub, Ishaq. Wal Asbat. Asbat is the pool of Sibt. Sibt means grandson. In other words, after Yaqub al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning whatever prophets came from the lineage of Yaqub al-Islam all the way to Isa al-Islam, they are all asbab. So whatever, meaning instead of mentioning all singular names, Allah is sufficing by saying, wal asbab. Because in the asbab, there are many prophets that we don't know by name. We know 25 names of the prophets in the Quran because 25 names are mentioned by Allah. But Allah said that there are many prophets we have sent on earth which you don't know, Muhammad and which I have not told you about it. وَمَا نَخُصُّ عَلَيْهِ. Allah says, we did not tell you about it, but they are sent. They are there. They came, they lived, they went away. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will find out who were those prophets that were not mentioned in the Quran, that also existed. Like the hadith of Rasulullah, he said, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Jibreel showed me the manzur, the environment, the vision of Yawm al-Qiyamah. He said that there will be Nuh al-Islam with his people behind him. There will be Ibrahim al-Islam with his people behind him. There will be Musa, Isa, Zakaria, Yahya, Yusuf, all these prophets. Every prophet with their people who believed and followed in them behind them, standing in groups. And he said, I saw on that day of the Jibreel, there will be some prophets who will have only two or three people behind them. Subhanallah, two or three. And he said, I also saw some prophets who have no people behind them. Subhanallah. And then he said, I saw on the other side of the horizon an abundance of people, plethora, Judaism. So I asked Jibreel, oh Jibreel, who are these people? Guess what he replied back? Oh Muhammad, these are your followers. وَسَبْعُونَ مِنْهُمْ, and 70,000 amongst them, سَبْعُونَ أَلْفٌ, 70,000 from amongst your people, O Prophet Muhammad will enter Jannah bi ghayri hisab. No checklist. Stop. Gotta check off. Where are you going to Jannah? I have to ask questions. No interview. Bi ghayri hisab. VIP service. Red carpet, red flowers. No questions asked. You know, like the advertise nowadays on TV? Buy this, return, no question asked. Read the fine print. You have to believe in our philosophy. That's the same thing. You want to be in those people who want to enter Jannah with no question asked? By all means, but read the fine print. Your Iman, because Rasulullah, the Sahaba asked, who are these? Man hum ya Rasulullah. Look at the desire of the Sahaba, radhiyallahu anhum. This was their attitude. Always eager to learn. Hame aaj bata diye, aise aise hoga. Acha, theek, but Sahaba, the moment the Rasulullah would tell him something, yes, who will be? Any aakhe nikal aaye, insaan uth gaya, khada ho gaya. Ji batao. Let me know. Let me understand. Eagerness. There's a thirst in there. The reason I bring this example is because we need to evaluate ourselves. We need to see that Muslims in 2005, where are we? And where are the Sahaba? Differences in attitudes. Because unless and until we rectify our attitudes, our behavior patterns, our thinking process, we can never be even close to the footsteps or even the sand of those first generation of Muslims. And that is what Rasulullah said as part of them. He said, those are those people who totally do tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yastariqoon, la yarqoon, wa la tatayyaroon, wa la tayyaroon, wa ala Allahi yatawakkaloon. That is what Rasulullah said in the hadith, that all my beloved Sahaba, Ridwan Ajmain, those 70,000 who will be entering Jannah without any question asked, they are those who don't take any charms, any omens, any talismans, who don't believe in all these things. But what do? They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly and tawakkul, rely, reliance, total dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what it takes to enter Jannah without being questioned. So Rasulullah was smiling when Jibreel al-Islam told him that this is your people. And he found the Sahaba saying that, and he told the Sahaba that, Uhibbu, I love to be that Prophet who has the maximum number of people on the Day of Judgment. Now you understand why we only live to 50, 60, 70 years? Our life is so short. Because the last Prophet came the last in the order. And yes, his people are the most to say on this earth. For 1,426 years we're living. But that 1,400 years is what? In terms of Nuh al-Islam's life? Probably a day or two. In other words, people of other prophets got long times, long chances, long duration to earn more deeds. Why we have Laylatul Qadr? Because our lifespan is so compressed. You know those zip files that you have in the computer? You compress them, zip them, you send it over. Then you have to unzip from the software to read them. If it's zipped, you won't read them. Our files are zipped. So we need to get a lot of work, a lot of deeds in a short amount of time, zipped in. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, there'll be a software that the angel will bring and unzip it. And you say, oh, I did so many deeds. I did more than the founder of Nuh al-Islam. Oh, I did more than Yaqub al-Islam's people. Man, but I lived almost one-third or one-tenth of his life. But I did more than that. Because we are the ummah of zip, so to speak, metaphorically speak. That we compress things. That is why Salih al-Islam, at his moment of death, he lived 120 years approximately, as most of you had said. And Jibreel al-Islam had come to him. And he said to him, because you know, for the prophets, Jibreel al-Islam comes and asks permission, or he came to Prophet Muhammad al-Islam, and the others. So Salih al-Islam said in his conversation to Jibreel al-Islam, I haven't lived yet enough. So 120. Jibreel al-Islam said, O Salih al-Islam, after you will come an ummah. An ummah that will probably have approximately half of your life. Wow! This was the sort of expression of Salih al-Islam. Subhanallah, let me be of that ummah. Can you understand the intellectual level, understanding of Salih al-Islam? He's saying that if a qawm is going to live for half of my life, that qawm must truly be blessed, because they are compounding reward at a small shortage of time. For every one, you get 10. For every 10, you get 100. For every 100, you get 1,000,000. You're maximizing your potential. It's an exponential graph. There are some graphs where the gradient, where the curve, where the slope is plus 5, plus 10. This is plus infinity. You write your own blank check. So Jibreel Islam said, you are a prophet. You can't be. He said, no. This is what Salih alayhi salam said. He said, if I had known that I would live that much long, I would build my house on my graveyard. On my grave. Now, linguistically, it's very hard to understand and analyze what a prophet of Allah is saying. But he's saying, he's not saying that I won't travel on the earth, I won't traverse on the earth, no. Meaning, he will be there because the grave will keep reminding him that time is running out. Time is running out. Because when you lose the reminder that time is running out, why do you think teachers, invigilators in examination rooms say, guys and girls, 1 hour left, half an hour left, 10 minutes left, and you see the student, he starts shaking. 5 minutes left, all right, put your pants down, time's up. No! Why? Because somebody's reminding them, look, you don't have the whole day to finish this exam. Who's going to remind the Ummah of Muhammad every day? And when we build these houses and mansions, Prophet Salih knew better, and he said, I will build my house on my grave, so that I keep remembering that time is running very fast, and from this house, I'm going to go drop down straight to the grave. Now our houses are miles, miles away, and the graveyard is miles, miles away. And when we go to visit the graveyard, oh, Shab-e Barat, Shab-e Miraj, Shab-e this, Shab-e that, put some agarbatti, put some pool, I've done my job, Dad, I came to your grave. He's saying, I'll build my house on the grave. Rasulullah said that person is truly blessed who goes to his relative's graves, who goes to his ancestors, parents, grandparents' graves, and visits, because just by you going there and visiting, Allah orders the azab al-qabr, stop, halt. But unfortunately, we spend countless hours in the malls and the parks, minutes, maybe seconds in the graves. That those people in the graves are begging, but we can't hear them, we can't see them. They're begging, please, don't let them go. If they will not go, to you, your eternity, se thoda sukoon mila, thoda thandak paiye. Chale jaoge to phir garam ho jaye. And that's why the Rasulullah said that when you go in a janaza, funeral, and you bury, don't just put the sand in your eyes. I've seen many times people are in a rush. But you mitti pao, mitti pao. Just put it and let's go. Rasulullah said, when you have done, finished burying the person, stay there. Don't rush and hasten to run away from. Because the moment you have put the last turab sand on that grave, the azab of qabr, the hisab, kitab has begun. So if you run away, that person is pleading, like in one of the riwayats, Rasulullah said, that person is pleading, gir-gir-ara hai, gir-gir-ari hai. کہ اے مومنو مجھے دفنا تو دیا ایک لمحہ اور یہ کیا ہو رہا ہے رسول عظم said the soul begins to respond the moment you are putting he or she can see that you are putting sand on their grave and they can hear your voices but you can't hear them and they want to talk and they're saying to you you can't hear them and they're requesting and pleading please a few more moments a few what is happening why are you going why are you leaving Because until you give the kanda, until you give the shoulder to janazah, the soul of that dead person was still in a state of illusionment. Not in reality what is sinking in. But the moment you put the dust and sand on the grave and start moving, reality sinks in that I am alone in this lonely quarter, deserted. Nobody's there. My wife is not there, my kids are not there, my parents are not there, my best friends are not there, no matter how much they loved and hugged me on earth. But who remembers me? And the fact of the matter is, no matter how famous you are or anyone is on earth, what happens when they die? How many people go and remember them in their graves? How many people own up to that relationship? In this dunya, they met them, they live with them. Inkisar, utna, batna, rana, sana. They spend a lot of time with them in this world all the time. But once they've passed away and gone into the grave, no matter how best of a friend you were, did you nibhana? Kya aapne nibhaya unki maut ke baad? Did you fulfill your requirement of association as you did when they were alive by visiting them in the graveyard? So that on Yawm al-Qiyamah they can say, yes, you were truly my friend. You were truly my relative, my blood. That I remember you always visited my grave. Because this is the fact, Rasulullah said. They know what is going on. They can see you, hear you. They can even respond to you. They want to talk to you. But you cannot hear and you cannot talk to them. And that is what Allah's mother is saying. That in the reality over here, all these prophets, we believe in what they've been revealed, what has been revealed to them. وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَإِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. We believe in all the prophets that came down on earth and we are submitting to them. We are submissive to them. We're not just Muslim to Prophet Muhammad SAW, but we're also Muslim to Isa Islam, Musa Islam, and Yahya and Zakariya and Yusuf and Yaqub and Ishaq and Ismail and so on. So be quiet. So that is what Allah's mother is saying. That a Muslim is not just a Muslim for Prophet Muhammad SAW. What is the meaning, definition of Muslim? Submitter. Submit wholeheartedly, completely, fulfillingly to everyone. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And we are submitting to all of those prophets, Asbad. فَإِنْ آمِنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدُوا. And then Allah's mother is addressing Rasulullah in this ayah, that tell them, Ya Rasulullah, that if they also believe in you and believe like your followers are believing in you, فَإِنْ آمِنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدُوا. Because they claim that we are the guiding ones. And they claim that come believe in Ibrahim Islam and you'll be guided. Tahtadu, you'll be guided. Allah is replying back to them now that no, tell them if you believe in me, the Khatimul Anbiya, Sayyid al-Mursaleen, Rahmatul lil Alameen, Ali Sallallahu, then you will truly be guided. Your guidance is not complete if you remain on the previous prophets now that I have come. And that is why even when Isa Islam comes back, he will be with the Muslims and following who? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, once before he came on earth, he was the leader, he was the prophet, he was all in all, commander-in-chief. But now he cannot be commander-in-chief, in spite of Allah giving him that life on earth the second time. He will be following and has to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the biggest testimony, biggest shahada, biggest proof of the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why in another narration the Prophet ﷺ said that even if Musa Islam were to come after me, he will follow me. In spite of the big stature that Musa Islam had with Bani Israel and all that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا and let them be known, O Rasulullah ﷺ, that if they reject, deny, they turn away, deviate, وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Let them be known that if they turn away and run away from this, then they are in a desperation. They are in a departure. Shiqaq, shakka, split. Why? Because that's what this shiqaq is. Tafsir of this word shiqaq is the whole surah Kafirun. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun, wa la antum a'buduna ma a'bud. I don't worship what you worship. You don't worship, I worship. So when I don't believe in the deficiencies that have been created in those holy books that have been revealed, and I don't believe in those things, yes, I believe in all these prophets, but I have to still believe in the teachings of Prophet Muhammad SAW. I cannot implement now the Sunnah of Musa Islam, the Sunnah of Yaqub Islam, because then I am outside the deen. For them, their Sharia and their Sunnah was for that time, for that duration. Now it has expired. Now the current one is Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I am to implement that. So I am shiqaq. I am away from those Sharias and those Sunnahs over there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplifts the morale, the spirit of Rasulullah and the believers. That look, don't worry yourself about what they do You know, a lot of times today we get very concerned, very worried. We get very demoralized, depressed. You know, people come in messages, start talking, you know, or drawing room talk, like when people have dawat in the houses and they're talking, and that's what we call drawing room talk, living room talk. Oh, look what they're doing to us. Look, they're desecrating Quran. Look, they're bad-mouthing Rasul Salam. This is the topic of conversation in these gatherings. This one word in this ayah is sufficive in response to them. That don't fret over what they say. Don't perspire. Don't sweat over what they say. فَسَكْفِيكَهُمْ اللَّهُ Allah is enough and sufficient for them. Yes, we will do our work. Yes, we will inform and disseminate knowledge and distribute the things. But we don't have to become bogged down if somebody desecrates the Quran. We voice our opinion. We let them be known. But that's not what we have to... Our whole feeling and sentiment should not be bogged down, derailed, just by talking. Think about that. We should rather be thinking on the positive. What should be our action plan? What is our framework? What's our protocol? What's next? Rather than just discussing about past tense. This is the problem with the Ummah of Islam right now. We have so much programmed in past tense. We spend so much time thinking on things that have happened in the past that we seldom think about the future. We never seldom make an active work plan for future. A protocol, a system, devise something. Build something, constructive something for the next step, for the next action, for the next deed, for the next word. We are so much bogged down by the previous thing. And if you look at the whole lifestyle of the Sahaba, they were never bogged down by the Quraysh. They were never derailed or deviated by the hurdles and obstacles of Quraysh. You think the Sahaba have no obstacles and hurdles? They are more than us. We are going to also face up. If we don't face obstacles and hurdles as Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what good is our Iman then? These are obstacles and hurdles. When people accuse the Muslim Ummah, when people accuse Muslims of things, when people do blasphemy on Quran, blasphemy on Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they attack the personality, integrity, honor of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, attack the integrity of Islam, attack the integrity of Quran and Sahaba, they're doing that purposely, deliberately, knowingly. And you are fulfilling their mission by getting bogged down with that. As opposed to thinking, what positive, what constructive thing I have to do? What's the next step I do? How we as a Muslim woman can become better so that they themselves will be quiet? You don't have to shut up someone. Your actions should speak more than your words, and they will automatically be quietened. Like I always say this,